Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your anointing. Never forget to thank him when he does something for you. If you want more, never forget to thank him. He's a faithful, 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 faithful God. Put up, if you would, please, Acts 4:13, King James. I thought about this verse a few minutes ago, and I jotted it down. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, they perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, and they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. It's not how much smarts you have. Because if you look at me, you'll know in a second. No, I'm serious. I mean, I went to Bible college, but it's not about that. It's about how much time you spend with the Lord. And how much you love the Lord. And how much you depend on the Lord. That's what helps people. And that's what they said. They were unlearned men, but you could tell they loved God and how much time they'd spent with God. And that's what people can say about you. It doesn't have to be how much you know. It's how much you know. Yes. Always remember that. I told Keith the other day, something came up. And I got in the truck with him and I said, that wasn't right. We were around a bunch of people and I got in the truck and I said, that wasn't right. I said, you know, I used to, when we very first got in the ministry and I was just a young Catholic girl and I was around a lot of ministers and stuff. And I said, I used to be real timid and I wouldn't say anything because I didn't think I knew enough. And all these people had been around the things of the Lord for decades and decades and decades. And they could quote every scripture in the Bible. And they could pray circles around me. Right. But one thing I've learned is the Holy Spirit. Amen. And I know when he is and I know when he ain't. Amen. And I told Keith, I said, he ain't. And I don't let people try to hoodwink me anymore.
All right, man.
And it's the same with you. That's why I'm telling you that verse. You don't have to know everything in this book to know him.
Amen.
And always keep that in mind, okay? And that's some of the stuff we're going to talk about today. Spirit or flesh, okay? It's going to kind of go along with kind of some of Keith's stuff. Are you interested in it?
Yes.
Spirit or flesh? Look with me, if you would, at Romans 8. I'm just going to read the first sentence, and maybe it'll help you. This is NIV, and there's like 12 NIVs now that I saw yesterday. They keep coming out with them, so I don't know which one you have and which one I have, but this one kind of says the same thing. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Say that with me. No condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. No condemnation. Now, Keith talked about that last week. How many of you were excited about that? That was a good message. He flat preached. He's got some preach in him. Okay, I like it when he preaches. You know, he teaches a lot, you know. I like, don't tell him I said this. I've told him. I like evangelists. You know? And Keith's a teacher. But, you know, Keith's line upon line and line upon line. And me, I'm, let's get it done. You know? I'm the evangelist, you know? I like the fire. And the, yeah. They don't have to explain anything. They just do it. You know? But if you don't have something to base the evangelist on and the foundation to base it on, they'll get off track. You know, so, you know, it's the Keiths that keep the evangelist straight. Because a lot of the evangelists listen to the Keiths to keep them straight, you know. So I listen to the Keiths to keep me straight, you know. Or elsewise, I'll go haywire. That's why Keith and I get along so well. So anyway, verse 5. Say, I like the word. It likes you.
Amen.
That's Jesus. He likes you.
Yes.
Okay? Those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on what the flesh desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death. Now, I didn't say that. What am I reading? Okay, these five people know what I'm reading. You know, we've gotten away from holding our Bibles in our laps, so let's remind everybody what this is right here, okay? It's the B-I-B-L-E, okay? So what am I reading?
Bible.
Okay, so let's read it again. The mind, say it with me, the mind governed by the flesh
is death.
But the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. So if you're missing some life and peace, you're missing some Spirit. Okay? There's your answer right there. You don't have to look any further. It's right there in that sentence. Get more Spirit, get more life and peace. One sentence. It's your answer. You can look 1,000,000,000 other places, but that's your answer. It ain't gonna be there. Get more Spirit, get more life and peace. Okay? The mind governed by the flesh is the next sentence. The mind governed by the flesh is what?
Hostile
to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Now, 1, 2, 3, 4 verses. Those 4 verses will change our lives forever. The difference between Spirit and flesh. Those 4 verses will change our lives. It will change our hearts. It will change our minds forever. The difference between Spirit and flesh. Brother Hagin used to, I can't read this without reading Brother Hagin's, one of his favorite verses. And if you know him, you'll know it's one of his favorite verses. Verse 14, let's read it and then we'll go on. It says, for those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. How many of you ever heard him read that verse? If you heard him, you heard him read that verse. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. Right? The King James says it this way. Verse 7 says, because the carnal mind is an enemy against God. And that's kind of what I want to talk about this morning. Our carnal minds being an enemy against God. And what happens when we give it place in our lives, in our jobs, in our marriages, in our kids, in anything to do with us. Remember Adam and Eve. Does anybody remember Adam and Eve?
Yes.
Good. I didn't want to have to go back to Genesis and start today. we'd be here for a while. And you know, I don't mind keeping you. One time I spoke, we were here, what, till 4 or 5 o'clock that day? Yeah. Okay. So Adam and Eve, the Lord told Adam, he said, you can have anything in the garden, except for don't go into the midst of the garden and eat from that one tree, the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and eat that fruit. And he knew in his spirit what? He wasn't supposed to go into the garden and eat of that fruit, correct? But then something else came along. I won't call it his flesh, but I will call it his carnal mind, along with his wife and a serpent. I won't say what kind of serpent, because it didn't say. Right. We all think of a snake slithering on the ground when we say that, but it didn't say that.
Right.
And said, surely not. And twisted some words and said, surely it won't be that way. And just twisted a few words and changed everything that the Lord said. Because he was an enemy and hostile toward God. And it's been that way ever since. Now, I had a dream. I guess it's been a couple of weeks ago. And I told Keith about it. He said, Phil, that is so good. I had a dream, and I tried to get Rob and Dan to help me with it, but they just kind of refused. I don't know what the deal is with them. I told them I wanted one of those great big, have you ever seen them? Those cranes that hold those great big, what did you call it? An electromagnet that those great big cranes hold, and it just sucks everything within a 2-mile radius of it, you know? It would have stolen all your jewelry and all the light fixtures, and they just wouldn't give me one. I don't know what the deal is with them. I was going to set it up where I saw it, you know? It was like over here by Rob, you know? It would have took his first, you know? It would have took all the cameras and everything electro, you know, everything metal in here, you know. So, and it was kind of over here on this side, and it was kind of rolled sideways. This is my dream. And it was kind of rolled sideways over here. And there was people over here. And everybody whose heart was filled with carnal things. Now, I'm not going to say what the carnal things were, because I didn't judge it. In my dream, I didn't judge it. It's just whosoever's hearts through their lives and at that point, this is my dream. I don't know why I dreamed it, but this is what I dreamed. Was filled with carnal things, this magnet was sucking them towards it. And they could, just like that magnet could not stop metal, there was nothing, they were trying to hold on to everything that they could, and they were doing everything that they could to stop that magnet from sucking them. And the more carnality they had in their life, the more the magnet was sucking them. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
If they had 20% carnality, well, maybe they were further in the back. If they had 40% carnality, maybe they were here. If they had 50% carnality, if they had 60%, 70%, 80%, 90%, well, if they had 100%, they were stuck to the magnet. It wasn't funny to me. Tears were rolling down my face. And that was my dream. And I didn't put an interpretation on it. That was just my dream. And the other side of the magnet was another magnet. And the magnet wasn't that big. It was about a quarter size of the other magnet. And it was people who were pure. And it wasn't sucking them. It was weird. Because the ones that were pure were just walking towards it. It was the weirdest dream ever. And I remembered it vividly. I didn't see faces. I didn't see anything. But that's what I dreamed. And when I started getting ready for this message, well, before I started getting ready for this message, the Lord reminded me. He said, "What are you going to speak on?" I said, "I don't know. I woke up this morning, and you know how that kind of twilight thing is when you're kind of half asleep and half awake?" Right. The Lord said, "Remind everybody about my second coming." I said, "Am I supposed to teach her?" And he said, "No, just remind them that I am coming. And remind them that how you as a church go from event to event in preparation." We do. As a church, we start in, the year starts in January, okay? And our first event is what? Greater Faith. So we start actually in Greater Faith after Fall Social. We start preparation for Greater Faith after Fall Social. And everybody starts gearing up. We get all of our notes. We start doing everything. We start preparing from event to event after the previous event. We get all of our notes and all of our orders and all of our stuff. We go from event to event. He said, "Who's preparing for the most important event?" Does he ask you questions? He asks me questions all the time. I'll ask him a question and he'll ask me a question. He said, "Who is preparing for the most important event?" And I thought, "Lord, that's a good question." So let me read you. And so I was getting ready for this message. And he reminded me of something that I haven't thought of in decades. Because I haven't read this book in probably since I've been in school. In Bible school. And that's been a day or two. And I pulled this up. And I remembered something. It's Brother Hagin's book. Can you see it?
Yes.
I Went to Hell.
Yes.
How many of you have read this book? A few of you. If you haven't read it, you know, there was a lady that was going around to Brother Hagin's books, going around Brother Hagin's book table, and it said, "I went to heaven. I believe in visions. I went to hell." Told about several different things, and she said, "Man, this man been everywhere." He kind of has been everywhere. It tells about Brother Hagin dying. It says, I won't try to read it all. It says, "When I was 15 years old, I became totally bedfast, and 5 doctors said that I had to die. I couldn't live." And he goes on. He said, "I was in the south bedroom, and it had a fireplace, and my grandmother had a clock on the mantel, and my mother and grandmother and my youngest brother Pat were sitting there in the room with me. And I had taken a turn for the worst. Just as Grandma's clock struck 7:30, my heart stopped beating within my bosom. And I could feel it faster than you could snap your fingers. The blood ceased to circulate way down at the end of my toes. My toes seemed to go numb. The numbness spread in my feet, my ankles, my hips, my stomach, my heart. And I leaped out of my body. I did not lose consciousness. Now, this is Brother Hagin telling about it. Said, I leaped out of my body like a diver would leap off a diving board into a swimming pool. I knew I was outside of my body because I could see my family in the room. But I couldn't contact them. I had it in my mind to say goodbye to my mama and my granny and my little brother, but I leaped out of my body before I could get the words out. I began to descend down, down into the pit, like you'd go down into hell, a cavern or a cave. I did not know that my physical voice picked that up. As I was trying to say goodbye, I knew I was going down into that place. All three of my family members were present, and they testified later. When you said goodbye, your voice sounded like you were down in a cave or a cavern or something. As I continued to descend, I went down feet first. Down, 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 down. I could look up and see the lights of earth. They finally faded away. Darkness encompassed me round about. Darkness that is blacker than any night a man has ever seen. It seemed like that if you had a knife, you could cut a chunk of it out. You couldn't see your hand if it was an inch in front of your nose. The further down I went, the darker it became. And the hotter it became. Until finally, way down beneath me, I could see fingers of light playing on the wall of darkness. And I came to the bottom of this pit. This happened to me more than 60 years ago. Yet it just seemed as real to me as if it happened the week before last. Spiritual things never grow old. When I came to the bottom of the pit, I saw what caused the fingers of light to play on the wall of darkness. Out in front of me, beyond the gates or the entrance of hell, I saw a giant, great orange flame with a white crest. I was pulled toward hell just like a magnet pulls metal to itself. I knew that once I entered through those gates, I could not come back. I endeavored to slow down my descent because when I came to the bottom of its pit, there was still a slant downward. I was conscious of the fact that some of the creatures that met me, You want to know the rest of the story? Read the book. But I wanted you to see, when I got ready to do this message, I hadn't thought of that magnet since I was in school, which was decades, I won't say how many decades ago. But so many of us have decided that it's okay if we have a little spirit and we have a little flesh and we have a little spirit today and we have a little flesh today. I have a favorite Bible hero. Do y'all have one? How many have a favorite Bible hero? Okay, yeah, that's what I thought. I have a favorite Bible hero, and his name is Peter. Peter's my hero. We're going to talk a little bit about Peter today. I almost titled it Peter, Spirit and Flesh. Peter made some mistakes. But let's read a few of the things that Peter did. Look at Matthew 16. Verse 13. This is King James. When Jesus came to the coast, into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some of them say that thou art John the Baptist. Some say Elias, Jeremias, or one of the prophets." And so he said to them, but who do you say that I am? Hang on before we get into who Peter said he was. I'll lower this so I'll quit hitting. Is that better? Y'all didn't hear it. I heard it. And Peter answered him saying, Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered him and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Did Peter do good?
Yes.
Thumbs up if he did good.
Yes.
Everybody, thumbs up. Branson, let's see thumbs up, Branson. I want to see if everybody's hooked with me right now. Branson, Peter did good? Thumbs up. Yeah, Peter did good. He did so good. That's why he's my hero. Okay? Let's go down a few verses later. Just a few little verses later to verse 21. From that time forth, began Jesus to show his disciples how that he must go into Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed and raised again on the third day. And Peter took him and began to rebuke Jesus, saying, be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. But he turned and said unto Peter, or you could say, but Jesus turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. Wait a minute. Now, it was just a couple of verses before that. But he was doing good. Now, just a couple of verses later, he's doing so bad. See why I love Peter? Because Peter's so much like me. One minute, I say the right thing, and then the next minute I used to say the wrong thing all the time. Have you ever done that?
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes. So you better love Peter too. Because he showed us what to do and what not to do. Because Peter, he would make a mistake, but you watch him throughout. Here's a few other things. The Transfiguration. Matthew 17. This is verse, 17. After 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, the brother of James, and led them up to a high mountain by themselves. And when the transfiguration was before them, his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as snow. And just there before them appeared Moses and Elijah, and they were talking with Jesus. And Peter, say Peter,
yeah,
opened his mouth and said, Lord, it is so good for us to be here. If you wish, I'll put up three shelters or tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. Should he have, you know that emoji, zipper? Should he have zippered it and just watched what the Lord was doing and kept his zipper shut? While he was yet speaking, a bright cloud covered them, and a voice from the cloud said, this is my Son, whom I love, and with him I am well pleased. Listen to him. Listen to him. Listen to him. But here's the thing. Turn with me, if you would. I think this is King James. Matthew 21. I forgot to put if it was in, it'll be NIV or King James. Matthew 21, verse 28. Jesus taught in parables a lot. And he said, there was a man who had two sons. He went to the first one and he said, go and work today in my vineyard. And his son said, what? Read up there. It said what? I will not. Have you ever told the Lord? I will not. Only 10 of us have. Have told the Lord, I will not. I will not go and work today in the vineyard. But he changed his mind and he went. Then the father went to the other son and he said the same thing. And he answered, sir, I will. But what happened? He didn't show up. Mister always has the right thing to say. I'm behind you always. Got you back. We're here for you. We love you. We got you. We'll never leave you. We're here. Do you know, I've read the New Testament once or twice. And that one time that I read it, I have never seen a scripture. And this is one time I'm going to say, write me and let me know. If Jesus ever told anybody to hook with somebody and unhook from them. Now there was a few people that did unhook. Because they messed up. But once he hooked people to people, how many of them parted ways and never hooked together or were a part of each other's lives anymore? Come on, yell it out. Come on, you know the scriptures. Y'all are scriptorians. Come on. Yell it out for me.
None.
I know we got some preachers in here. Come on.
None.
Don't just yell it out unless you know. Yell it out for me. So then why is it people all the time say, God told me to hook with you guys? Here we go is right. I'm going to step on you. Pull you. I know God. He told us to hook with Brother Hagin. We never left him till the day he died. We started our own ministry, but we was with him and hooked with him till the day he died.
Hallelujah.
And we still support Rhema, and we still help them, and we still do everything we know.
Amen.
And he told us to hook with Brother Kenneth. And Brother Jerry, look at men of God that God genuinely used throughout the Bible, throughout time, that he said, do this. Brother Jerry started with him when he didn't have two nickels to rub together.
Right.
And a week before he went home to be with the Lord, he was preaching with Brother Kenneth. Brother Kenneth was helping Brother Oral almost the week before he went home to be with the Lord. If God genuinely hooks you with people, Did he hook you with him? That's my point. Man is one thing. But God is never, ever, 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 ever. How does he feel about divorce? His word was hate. When he hooks somebody with somebody, he doesn't like it when they get separated. And he doesn't like it when people separate from him. He said he's a jealous God. And that's what I'm trying to get to. He does not like it when we yield our minds to the things of the world 3/4 of the day and only give him 5% of the day. And let me explain to you why. Okay. The Lord is dealing with you to do something. We see it all the time. And you're trying to make a major decision about something. Okay, take for instance me speaking this morning. Now, 90% of the time, I am administrative. Okay, for instance, this week, I dealt with a church that got hit with a tornado. Do we help them rebuild? I got hit with I can't even remember all the things. A lady that is a pastor's evangelist mom, that they're at odds with each other and she wants us to pay her dental bills. I got hit with, I could call some, the reason I'm hesitant is because I don't want to call names of ministers and stuff that I talked with all week long. And this one wants to let somebody rent their building instead of believing God that extra money comes in. And this one wants to file a lawsuit with somebody instead of letting it go. And this one wants to, just constant natural things all week long. And at some point, now those are all ministry. Do you understand?
Yes.
Those are all ministry related. I don't go out and go to the clubs. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yes. I'm not doing crazy stuff. I'm not cussing. And I'm not drinking. And I'm not partying. And I'm not lying. And I'm not stealing. And I'm not... Do you get my drift?
Yes.
But in order to speak this morning, I had to cut everything off. I had to cut off my emails. I had to cut off my phone. Friday, Saturday, Thursday. To change gears. Brother Hagin used to say this. Now, I don't know of anybody that knew more healing scriptures or understood healing better than Brother Hagin. Second, my husband, that has studied more, that can quote more healing stuff. When you teach it night and day for 25 years, you kind of get it in you. But Brother Hagin would say, Mom would write me on the road and say, Pat has an ear infection. And I would think, what do I need to do? I would think. And the Lord would say, you better pray about it. So he'd say, okay, so I'd get out my Bible and I would read healing scriptures for 3 days. And I would study and I would try to figure out, Lord, pray. Lord, not try to figure out, pray and ask the Lord, what do we need to do? Do we need to go to the doctor? Do we need to take medicine? Or do I just need to call and pray for her? The reason that I'm talking to you about this is spirit or flesh? I like results. And I think people are leaving God in droves because they're not seeing results. People have told them, God will do this for you. And they didn't see the results that they wanted. Because they tried it. But how many of them took 3 days to seek God's face to get the answer? How many of them took 3 minutes? We can't get people to come to prayer on Wednesday night. I want you to get answers. I don't want the devil to be able to suck you into this magnet. I don't want you consumed. There are reasons that your finances are not getting the answers that you're needing. There's reasons that people's bodies are being consumed. Right. When I had COVID or when I had MS, I got mad at God when I had COVID. I'm an honest person. I got mad. I said, God, I need to be at church. I need to be, you know, I need to be able to get up and watch the service, keep speaking. I need to be there, help him do what he needs to do, because they weren't coming here. They were doing things. I got to do. And I got mad. You know, getting mad at God is never going to get you any closer to your answer. But you have to be honest. I was sick. Couldn't breathe. Because of the complications of the stupid MS stuff and the COVID, it just was a deal. And then one day, after spending 3 days praying, it came down to that. I had to do something my flesh didn't want to do. I had to do something natural. And the Lord said, get with your friends, get some things, do some breathing treatments, and you'll get past it. It wasn't 3 more days. I started coming out of that stuff like blazing fires. But I couldn't do it my way. I just wanted it that I read the scripture, I turned on healing stuff, and Keith agreed with me, and I got all better. But the problem is, we want to do it our way. And we decide something in our minds that this is the way that it is, and I call it the double down. I call it, we decide something and we tell somebody that this is what the Lord said. The Lord told us to go to this church. The Lord told us to buy this house. The Lord told us not to take this medicine. The Lord told us to marry this person. The Lord told us to do this. The Lord told us not to do this. The Lord told us. So you can't say anything because the Lord told us. And I call it the double down, down the drain. Double down the drain. Because when you double down with a flesh answer, even God himself can't help you with it. If you've been, let's go all the way back up here. What percent was this right here? 50, about 50, 40, 50? We'll stay here. When you've been even 40 or 50% in the flesh, you got a 40 or 50% chance of getting the wrong answer. How many like your odds at 40 or 50%? You a gambler? 40 to 50% odds you're going to get a flesh answer or a spirit answer. Flip a coin. 50-50. This is a spirit answer. This is a flesh answer. Even Peter himself, who was with the Lord, I've got 100 scriptures here that I was going to go over, but we did all that stuff at the front of the service. I'll be like, Keith, can I have a few more minutes? If not, I won't be offended if you get up and leave. I know people have places to go and their stomachs are growling at them. Fleshy carnal. I couldn't resist. I couldn't resist. What percent is that? Let's see. We want spirit answers. And some of us need to relook, erase the answer that we think we have. Completely erase it. If there's something that you've been believing for, if there's something you think you know, if there's something you think you heard from the Lord, at least be honest with yourself and say, I have been at least 50% in the flesh. And I just told you, me doing the things that I do for ministry every day, I'm considering that at least 50% in the flesh. You understand? Mm-hmm. That is not hearing from the Lord. I mean, shutting off and shutting everything off and only spending time with Him to get an answer on what you're believing for is the only time that you can trust your answer. Brother Hagin himself spent time 3 days finding the scripture for what he was believing for, 3 days praying about what he was believing for before he would even lay hands on his own daughter. And people today make life-changing decisions in 30 seconds.
Yes.
And you wonder why there's 1, 2, 3, 4, I don't even want to count them. A whole row of empty, and the whole back is empty. Because we as Christians are the example, whether we want to be or not, of the results of God. But if we're at 80% yielding to our flesh, how are we going to be an example? Those TV shows are just not that important. They're not going to give you your answers. And if they do, they're going to be the wrong one. Couple of quick things. I'm going to give you a few of Peter's mistakes so you can understand. When Jesus went to wash the disciples' feet, what did Peter do? He said, no, don't wash my feet. Now, why would you tell the master not to wash your feet? Or is he missing it? Should he have spent a little more time praying? Isn't that what the Lord told them to do and they didn't have time to pray? They were too what? Because they stayed up too late and watched TV. Maybe not, but you understand what I'm saying. Watch TikTok videos, he said. He told them to watch and pray. But they didn't have time to do that. They were doing other stuff. Somebody, I'm not going to call any names, cut off somebody's ear with a sword. Do anybody want to guess who that might have been? Peter. He is my hero. He also must have got offended a couple of times because he asked the question, Lord, how many times do I have to forgive my brother? Was he talking about Paul or John or who was he talking about? How often do I have to forgive Rob and Dan? How often? You know? It was also Peter, although he walked on the water, the Lord told him, quit looking at the water, you little faith man. He did walk on the water, though. And this is the last one for now. Somebody told Jesus, Lord, I'll go with you always till I die. And the Lord said, before the cock crows three times, you're going to deny me. And he said, Lord, I'll never leave you. I'm going with you, even unto death. Double down the drain. That's what people that don't listen get. Double down the drain. What happened to Peter? Somebody else want to do it? There you go. There you go. And then it says, Luke 22:62. This is what I love about Peter. Put it on the screen. And Peter went outside and wept bitterly and repented. So all of us in here, let's back her up and let's not be so carnal. I don't want to see any one of us being so close to that magnet. That was a vivid dream. And how many of you sense that the time is nearer than it's ever been? I want us to be backing up. Backing up from that magnet instead of getting closer to that magnet. Backing. We have time for the Lord. A lot of this other stuff that we're doing, how valuable is it? It's not. And if we really want answers, we really want to see good in our lives before we go. And our kids' lives and our marriage, we can get it. Listen to the things that happened to Peter. Peter didn't just let that ruin him. And this is the good part about the story. He messed up. He messed up big time. And you may have messed up big time. I know I have so many times. That's why I said I love Peter so much. But listen at some of the things that happened with Peter. You know that crippled man at the gate that they kept walking by? He got up and walked. You know, when he walked by people, my shadow, it healed them. Just his shadow healed people when he walked past them. Peter didn't give up. Do you remember Ananias and Sapphira?
Yeah.
Any clue who that was? That talked to them and basically pronounced judgment on them? Want to guess?
Peter.
Everybody all at once.
Peter.
Peter. Ananias was healed of palsy, and he said, take up your bed and do what?
Walk.
Dorcas was raised from the dead. Now, Peter, he didn't quit. This can be you. Peter made a lot of mistakes, and he didn't pretend to know it all or have it all, but what he did do was spend time with Jesus. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes,
ma'am. He wasn't the smartest man. He wasn't the most doctrinally correct man. That's what I wanted you to get today. He didn't know it all. He wasn't the greatest scriptorian of all. You understand? But he did spend time right up against Jesus. Everywhere Jesus was, you'll find Peter.
Yes.
And he was one of the ones when he said, how much food we got here to feed these people? Peter missed it. He didn't answer the right answer. Then Peter was the one that walked out of prison. Everything shook. And he walked out of prison. You can be that very same thing. You can have made mistakes. You could have spent time going in the wrong direction. You could have done a lot of stuff. But the more time you spend with the Lord can give you a healing ministry. He can give you an anointing to do more things that you need to do. You don't have to do it here in the church. You can walk in your office and somebody beside you have cancer. And just your shadow. Do you understand? You don't have to say a word to them, but just your shadow passing by them can heal them.
Amen.
Doesn't have to be a bunch of big words that you spoke over them. Just your anointing from having spent time with the Lord. I mean, you can walk by. I walked in the other night into the auditorium at Branson, and this guy just went. Spending time with the Lord. Spending time in His presence. Spending time with Him. It changes your vocabulary. It changes your face. It changes that sourpuss look we have. You know what I mean? It changes how we look at everything we do. It makes us see things differently. It makes you see your spouse differently. It makes you see your kids differently. You come out of your closet, your prayer closet, and even that nasty food you've been eating tastes better. You understand what I'm saying? Read Acts, what was it again? Acts 4:13 in the King James Version. Stand up on your feet. Flesh or spirit? How do we answer people? How do we know the answer to people? Are we spending time giving a flesh answer? Flipping a coin? 50%. 50-50. We're going to get it right this time. Flesh answer. And the thing about it is, you feel so adamantly right about it because you've spent so much time in the flesh that your flesh is stronger than your spirit. So it's adamant that this is the right answer. I am so adamant that this is right. That when you get quiet and get in your prayer closet, the Lord begins to retune. Now they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were what? Unlearned, and as far as the natural, ignorant men. And they did what?
Marveled.
And they took knowledge of them that they had what?
Been with Jesus.
How many of you want people marveling at you? Be honest about it. Be honest. They're marveling at you, but not because of yourself, but because you've been with Jesus. You've been with Jesus. You've been with Jesus. And that anointing is so all over you that they can sense it. It's like static electricity. I believe we can come up and up and up and up. We got it, guys. It doesn't take 100,000 people to do this. You start getting a group of people that genuinely are spending time with the Lord, and we won't have anybody going toward that magnet. We'll have people consciously walking toward the Lord.
Hallelujah.
I don't want anybody being like Brother Hagin, being pulled down and down and down and not being able to control their descent into the fire. How many of you want to avoid that? He goes on to tell in the book, you can read it, that he said, as he was going down, he said, Lord, I'm a member of the church. And he kept going down. Second time, he said, Lord, you know I go to church. And he kept going down. It wasn't until he said, Lord Jesus, you're my Savior. I confess you as my Savior. That he began to ascend. And he never went down again. You know, it doesn't matter if you're a member of a church. You can be a member of this church. But it matters if you've confessed Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And if you serve Him as your Lord and Savior, you confess Him as your Lord and Savior. So every head bowed and every eye closed. Watching on the internet, my heart, I still remember laying in that bed. I can see it just like I'm there now. And people being pulled toward that magnet. And I don't want anyone going to hell. It's like Brother Hagin said, it was hot. I don't think people understand what hell is. They make jokes and say, I'll see you in hell. You don't want to see anybody in hell, no matter if they're your worst enemy. So, Father, I pray for every person under the sound of my voice. And I pray that you said you would draw them unto you. So, Father, instead of them being drawn into this magnet, I ask you to draw them unto you now while there's opportunity. If you're here in this place, or if you're watching on the internet, or if you're in Branson, and you've never confessed Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and you want to do it today, I'd ask you to just raise your hand in this place, watching online in Branson. Just lift your hand, and we're just going to pray for you. Yes, I see that hand. Are there others? Just lift your hand up. We just want to pray for you. In Branson, the same. On the internet, the same. Just lift your hand up. I want to make sure that nobody here gets pulled and can't turn back. Father God, I do. I pray for these people. Say this with me. Father God, I accept you. And I confess you. And I confess Jesus as my Lord. And my Savior. And I purpose to give Him place in my life. Not 5%. Not 10%. But 100% place in my life. So I can clearly hear Him and do as He says
all the days of my
life. You are my Lord.
You are my Savior.
I love you, Lord.
From this day forward,
I will serve you. Now just thank Him.
Thank you. Thank you.